ಯಶೋದನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಜಮುನಾ ತೀರವನ ಚಾರಿ ಜಮುನಾ ತೀರವನ ಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ರದ ಮಾಧವ ಜಯ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಥ ಮಹಾದಾವ ಜಯ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಥ ಮಹಾದಾವ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಗೋಪಿ ಜನ ಬಲವ ಜಯ ಗಿರಿ ಬರಾರಿ ಜಯ ಗಿರಿ ಬರಧಾರಿ ಗೋಪಿ ಜನ ಬಲವ ಜಯ ಜಯ ಗಿರಿವರಧಾರಿ ಗೋಪಿ ಜನ ಭಲವ ಜಯ ಗಿರಿವರಧಾರಿ ಜಯ ಗಿರಿವರಧಾರಿ ಜಯ ಗಿರಿವರಧಾರಿ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ಜಯ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಜಯ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದನಂದನ ಜಯ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಜಯ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಜಮುನಾ ತೀರವನ್ನ ಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ವ್ರಜ ಜನ ಜಯ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ಜಮುನಾ ತೀರವನ್ನ ಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾತ್ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವ್ರಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಶತ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಸಿವಾಯಿಂಗ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ಎಸಿ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಶಿಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕಿ ಜಯ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾತ್ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವ್ರಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಶತ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಸಿವಾಯಿಂಗ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಸಿದಂತ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಮಹಾರಾಜ ಶಿಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕಿ ಅನಂತ ಕೋಟಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ವೃಂದ ಕಿ ಇಸ್ಕೋಂ ಫೌಂಡರ್ ಆಚಾರ್ಯ ಶಿಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕಿ ಗ್ರಂಥರ ಶ್ರೀಮಂ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕಿ ನಿತಾಯಿ ಗೌರ ಪ್ರೇಮನಂದಿ ಶಿಲ ರಮನುಜ ಆಚಾರ್ಯ ಕಿ ಓಂ Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, entitled Withdrawal of the Cosmic Creation. Chapter 20, entitled Bali Maharaj Surrenders the Universe, text number 10. Manashwina Kaurinikasya Shobanam. Yatartika mopanayena durgati. Kuta punar brahma vidam brahma babadrisham. Tato vator asya dadami vanchitam. Manashvina karunikasya shobhanam. Yatartikamo panayena durgati. Kuta punar brahma vidam babadrisham. Tato vator asya dadami vanchitam. Manashvina karunikasya shobhanam. Yadartikamo panayena durgati. Kuta punar brahma vidam babhadrisham. Tato vator asya dadami vanchitam. Please chant. Manashvina of persons who are greatly munificent. Karunikasha. Of a person celebrated as very merciful. Shobhanam. Very auspicious. Yat. That. Arti. Of persons in need of money. Kama upaneja. Sorry, it's kama upanayena. But by satisfying. Durgatihi. Becoming poverty stricken. Kutaha. What? Punaha. Again. Is to be said. Brahma vidam. Of persons well versed in transcendental science. Brahma vidya. Babadrisham. Like your good self. Tataha. Therefore. Bataho. Of the brahmachari. Asya. Of this Bhamanadev. Dadami. I shall give. Banchitam. Whatever he wants. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. By giving charity, a benevolent and merciful person undoubtedly becomes even more auspicious, especially when he gives charity to a person like your good self. Under the circumstances, I must give this little brahmachari whatever charity he wants from me. Purport. If one accepts a poverty-stricken position because of losing money in business, gambling, prostitution, or intoxication, no one will praise him. But if one becomes poverty-stricken by giving all of his possessions in charity, he becomes adored all over the world. Aside from this, if a benevolent and merciful person exhibits his pride in becoming poverty-stricken by giving his possessions in charity for good causes, his poverty is welcome and auspicious signs of a great personality. Bali Maharaj decided that even though he will become poverty-stricken by giving everything to Bhamanadev, this is what he will prefer. Manashrina karunikasya shobanam yadartika mo panayena durgati kuta punar brahmavidam babadrisham tato vator asya dadami vanchitam. By giving charity, a benevolent and merciful person undoubtedly becomes even more auspicious, especially when he gives charity to a person like your good self. Under the circumstances, I must give this little brahmachari whatever charity he wants from me. Om Agyana Timirandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Ummilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurube Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyabadi Pashatyade Shatarine Vancha Kalpa Taruvyasha Kripa Sinduvyeva Chapatitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. Bali Maharaj is concluding his response to Sukracharya, and one can see that he's actually very ecstatic, although the situation was very awkward because he had to confront his spiritual master with an instruction that he could understand it was unacceptable. By dint of a transcendental knowledge that he possessed, and the spiritual experience that he received, actually due to the grace of his spiritual master Sukracharya, he was able to understand that this instruction that he was receiving at this particular time from that same spiritual master was not acceptable. So it was a very awkward situation. Terrible, actually, very, very difficult. And as he makes clear, and the position of awkwardness, he have to make a choice. He have to choose. And as he makes the choice of rejecting the instructions of the spiritual master because he's actually fully surrendering to the personality of Godhead, you can see that as he progressed through expressing that choice and explaining that choice to Sukracharya, he is becoming more and more ecstatic. And it's almost, you know, you can almost feel it, you know, in the verses. How that decision is filling his heart, the decision of give everything to Lord Vamadev, to Lord Vishnu. And he's feeling quite strong and secure in that. In fact, Prabhupada hints that there is even some pride, but this is not a bad pride. In general, pride is a very destructive type of quality. He actually destroys all good qualities, pride. In fact, it's considered a very heinous type of quality. But when you feel pride in serving Guru and Krishna, when you feel the pride of their position, their wonderful position, their exalted position, and like, I have such a great master. Sometimes we, you know, devotees becomes very attached to the deities that one's serving, and then one happily declares, you know, they're the most beautiful, like that. And you feel pride of the pride of being, of having such a wonderful master, such a generous, wonderful master, as you know, Shishi Kishore Kishori. So same, one have the pride of having a relationship with your Guru Maharaj, such a wonderful personality. There's only a handful of great, great personalities that are walking the earth right now, and I have an intimate relationship with this great person. So one feels oneself, you know, such a great person my master is. So it's a glorious thing. It's a glorious thing. And so Maharaj Pali is exhibiting that security. And he have no problem. He have no lamentation. He feels, you know, this is the best thing, the best opportunity, the greatest thing that could happen to him. that he can give everything and become poverty stricken, which is, you know, quite something to actually take for a materialistic person. You know, we've been hearing sometimes devotees, you know, devotees were through the classes, you know, being in the position of having to sometimes your parents when, or people that are your previous associates, when they get to hear that you're giving, you know, your pursuits to become a devotee, you know, they become shocked, you know. You cannot do that. You have to, you know, you can't give up your things, you know, what's going to happen to you, and blah, 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 blah. But in this case, Bali Maharaj is feeling very strong. So, today is the disappearance date of Srila Ramanuja Acharya. And also, yesterday was the disappearance of Madhava Acharya. So these two great personalities, they're very, apart of being the prominent acharyas in two of the four bona fide disciplic successions that comes from Lord Krishna, Madhava Acharya is the prominent acharya of the Brahma Sampradaya, and Srila Ramanuja Acharya is the prominent acharya of the Lakshmi Sampradaya. And they have a very important work that they perform on behalf of Lord Chaitanya. And it is understood that they paved the way to the descent and the appearance of Lord Chaitanya as the Yuga Avatar, as the personality that descend, that Krishna's descend in this Kali Yuga to establish the religious principles of this age. And historically, there was this, as Kali Yuga enter, the Lord has these successions of appearances of either himself or very intimate associates to pave the way to the coming of Lord Chaitanya and establishing, you know, the mission of Lord Chaitanya, this Sankirtan mission. So everything this personality's lead was simply led the whole thing towards Lord Chaitanya. Prepare that. So as Kali Yuga took hold, Maharaj Parikshit disappeared, you know, was killed by the poisonous snake. And so the presence of this Raja Rishi, the last of the Raja Rishis, you know, was finished. And then Kali Yuga fully took, you know, hold of the world after Maharaj Parikshit. Maharaj Parikshit was holding Kali Yuga to be able to take place, which was quite something. It tells about the power of Maharaj Parikshit, because Kali Yuga started with Krishna departed from this world. But because of Maharaj Parikshit present, Kali Yuga could not act. So even though it was the age of Kali, Kali was, he couldn't do anything. He couldn't do anything. In fact, when he tried to do something, Maharaj Parikshit was just about to beheaded him, cut his head. So, and you know, Kali surrendered to Maharaj Parikshit. So Kali couldn't act, but when Maharaj Pariksit was cursed to death and he died by the bite of the poison, you know, snake, then Kali Yuga was able to fully enter. Now, as Kali Yuga took hold of the whole world, then degradation started to happen very, very quickly. Very quickly, you know, things just went down. And starting with the curse of Maharaj Pariksit, the Brahminical culture was finished. And as the Brahminical culture is finished, then Vanashram becomes dismantled. So without the first thing that Kali Yuga, that happens in Kali Yuga, is that the social structure that was supporting Vedic culture was dismantled, finished. So now the whole thing became completely in disarray. So Brahmanas were not qualified, and then they started, actually all the classes were devoid of all, any type of connection with transcendental knowledge. So Brahmanas were performing sacrifices simply for their own sense gratification and fame and money and that type of thing. The Kshatriyas were greedy and full of ignorance, devoid of any type of transcendental guidance, and the rest of society was in disarray. So everything went very, very, very bad, to the point that it was so bad that in the name of the Vedas, so many atrocious things were committed. Very, very sinful things. One of the most terrible things that was happening was this mass killing of innocent animals. Like a mass killing in the name of religion. I mean, right now, at these times, there's mass killing of innocent animals, but not in the name of religion, just in the name of, you know, some crazy ideas of that business and exploitation and, you know, like that. But during that time, there was this massive killing in the name of religion. And so the Lord appeared as Lord Buddha to completely stop that. So the way he did was to by his preaching just tell the people that actually reject the Vedas. This is all, and he propounded this sunyavada philosophy, which means, you know, that is voidism, that there is nothing. Actually, this whole world is an illusion. There is no God, there is nothing. There's nothing out there. And basically, right now, we simply have to suffer this world, because in reality, this is all an illusion. We just have to come, I mean, actually, even to explain it is very difficult, how you go back to nothing. But one of the things that he says is, you follow me, you follow me. And he talked the principles of ahimsa, which is non-violence, and he rejected the Vedas. He said, don't follow the Vedas, follow me. So he converted the whole world into Buddhism, one of the most prominent thing. Now, after that, Lord Shiva, Shankar, appear as Shankaracharya, and Shankaracharya established this Advaita philosophy, which means, you know, it's very similar ideas in terms of, there's a lot of similarity with the voidisms of Lord Buddha, but now you reestablish the Vedas and you focus on oneness. Everything is one. There is the absolute truth, is an energy, and everything is within energy. So the Vedas are established back, and people have said, accept this Advaita philosophy. So that became the prominent philosophy at that time. And then there is the appearance of these two great acharyas, Ramanujacharya and Madhavacharya. Ramanujacharya, he established the philosophy of Vashishta Advaita philosophy, Vashishta Advaita, which means qualify oneness. That's a translation. Qualify oneness. Qualify because he said that yes, everything is one. Everything is one. The absolute truth is one. But within that absolute truth, that oneness, there are qualities. There are qualified things. And those qualified things, there are three in number. Bhagavan, the Jiva, and Prakriti. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the living entity, and the material nature. And there's a relationship between the three. So there are relationships within this oneness. There is this different qualities, and there's a relationship among them. And of them, there is a supreme. Lord Vishnu is supreme. During one of the things that were expounded by Shankaracharya was this Pancha Devas, or the worship of these five main deities. And you can worship them, and you will receive the equal result by the worship. So is the worship of Narayan, or Vishnu, the worship of Shiva, Lord Shiva, the worship of Ganesh, the worship of Surya, and the worship of Durga. So these five main deities, regardless, you can worship them and receive the same result. And based on this Advaita philosophy. And the philosophy will explain that there were like stepstones to achieve also your full realization of oneness with the absolute truth. So you worship these deities, and then as you worship the deities, you become fully realized that you're one with the deities. So, you know, at the end, everything is one. So, Ramanujacharya, he established Vishnu as supreme. Vishnu as supreme. And he used the teachings of Narada Muni, the Pancharatra Kavidi of Narada Muni, to prove, you know, this, you know, he used that in his philosophy. Madhavacharya, he took it further. He established the philosophy, the Dvaitavad philosophy, which is there is two and they're different. So he highlighted this difference. Ramanujacharya, he was still working within oneness, but in oneness there's these qualities and there's differences in these qualities. There's relationship between them. But Madhavacharya really highlighted the differences, and his philosophy will move from that. He will completely reject anything to do with everything is one. So the difference were there. And these two great acharyas, they have to confront the strong opposition of this Advaita philosophy. And in both of their cases, especially in the case of Ramanujacharya, but both cases, they have to study as children when they were taken to their education, the Gurukula education. They had spiritual masters that were impersonalists. And they have, just as Bali Maharaj is doing, they have to reject the spiritual master. They confronted, they didn't accept, they have confrontations with him. In the case of Srila Ramanujacharya, when he was 15 years old, he was taken to Kanchipuram to being trained by the most prominent teacher there was an impersonalist. His name was Yadava Acharya. And immediately, the young Ramanuja Acharya, at that time he was not Ramanuja Acharya, I think his name was Elijah Parvat, so I can remember his name. But he immediately confronted him. There is some beautiful pastimes of because Ramanujacharya, as a disciple, was a very faithful disciple, but his heart couldn't embrace anything impersonal, so it would just come out in a very respectful way. He will challenge, and his arguments were so strong that it couldn't be defeated. So it became clear to Yadava Acharya, the impersonalist, that this child was going to be very problematic for him and his position. So just as Shukracharya made a choice to protect his position, Yadava Acharya made a choice to protect his position, which was, I must kill this boy. He have to be eliminated. Because what to speak right now, which is contained within the Gurukula, that he is completely destroying him, you know, and he is such an attracted, beautiful personality, gentle, humble, faithful, you know, that there's no fault. You can't find, you know, any way of you know, trying to discredit him or do something to him. He have to be eliminated, basically, because if he grows, you know, he's completely going to destroy the whole impersonalism. So better get rid of this guy now. So he devised all these plans to kill him. And the story goes that Ramanujacharya was not able to be killed. He was saved by Lord Narayan, the deity Bharadwaj, Bharadvaj, no? No, not Badrikashan, you know, from Kanchipurna, Bharadvaja, the deity in Kanchipurna is this beautiful, beautiful deity. He stands, it's a Lord Narayan's deity. He stands with the hand like this and like this. And this hand, he has a sign that says Masuchaha. So do not worry, you know, so that he will protect. So beautiful deity. So the deity came with Lakshmi Devi and saved him. There's a beautiful story. So took him to Kanchipuram, and in Kanchipuram he took shelter of this wonderful devotee. The name was Ananda. No, this was another one. Kanchipuram. So the city is Kanchipuram, and the devotee is Kanchipuram. This devotee was such an advanced devotee, an elderly devotee, simple, that he was famous because the deity would speak to him. So anyway, the story goes, but Yadava Acharya was, he made that choice, and at the end, you know, he found out that Ramanuja was still alive. So, you know, he didn't know what to do. So finally, he just gave up. He told, and Ramanuja is his Guru Maharaj. He's going to disobey his Guru Maharaj. So he was released when Yadavacharya understood he can't do anything about it. Then he said, really, you have your philosophy, go and teach the philosophy and you start school yourself. Just get out of here. And then, yes, Guru Maharaj. So that's when he started his school. You know, he became now an Acharya. And he became very famous. So he had to work very hard. He had a lot of opposition. Both of these great Acharyas had a lot of opposition. They have to work very hard against this whole impersonalist environment, which is Lord Chaitanya's mission. This impersonalism is at the heart of the condition. The living entities in this world is full with impersonalism, especially in Kali Yuga. So part of Lord Chaitanya's mission is to wipe out impersonalism. So we pray to Srila Prabhupada, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatyade Shatarine. He have come to fulfill this mission of Lord Chaitanya to wipe out impersonalism and voidism in the world. So they have to work hard to pave this way to Lord Chaitanya to come and establish the full, perfect philosophy, Achintya Veda Veda Tattva, that yes, there is oneness, but yes, there is difference, and these things are simultaneously existing together. And that's the inconceivable potency of the Lord. Simultaneously one and different, inconceivably. And so there's a very beautiful relationship that Lord Chaitanya himself, Lord Gauranga, has with these great personalities. All of them, you know, from Shankaracharya to Madhava Acharya, they all have this close relationship with Lord Chaitanya. And within, although they will preach the philosophy that will that they represented in their hearts that were Gaura Bhaktas, because they have, you know, the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. In the case of Srila Ramanujacharya, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in a beautiful book called the Navadvip Dham Mahamya, this passage in which Ramanujacharya received the mercy of Lord Gauranga and he became fully imbibed with Gaura Prema. So it is explained that he was with his disciples in Jagannath Puri, and as he is in front of Lord Jagannath, he's offering prayers to Lord Jagannath, very deep prayers to Lord Jagannath, and Lord Jagannath became very pleased, and Lord Jagannath spoke to Ramanujacharya and say, "My dear Ramanuja, go and visit Sri Navadvip Dham, because very soon I will appear there as Lord Gauranga in the house of Sri Jagannath Mishra." So this Navadvip Dham, I mean, I'm paraphrasing, I'm sure Lord Jagannath, you know, speaks not Spanglish, but, you know, like, you know, very beautifully say, he's basically paraphrasing, he say, "This Navadvip Dham is none different than Vrindavan. And and Krishna, you know, he himself will manifest, you know, in full as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as Lord Gauranga. So go fast there. Don't wait. Oh, just leave your disciples here and go alone. Because they're in Dasya Ras. Their mood is the mood of a servant, the mood of Dasya, in awe and reverence. And they will understand this this Braj Prema. So you go by yourself. Go very quick there to Navadvip and see my former Lord Gauranga. And then after you gain the blessings of Lord Gauranga, then you can come back with your disciples, meet them at Kurukshetra." You know, Kurukshetra is a little, it's going south. So Ramanujacharya was very touched, you know, and then he said, "My dear Lord, you have mercifully told me something about Gauranga, but exactly who he is, I don't know. And then the Lord Jagannath says, "He's Krishna. You know Krishna. All my devotees know Krishna. This Lord Gauranga, he's Krishna himself." So he explains, you know, about Chaitanya Tattva, and explains, you know, how he is basically explains that, you know, the descent of Lord Chaitanya within this material world. And Ramanujacharya says, "Yes," you know, he immediately, you know, was convinced and says, you know, and then with his knowledge of the scripture, he clicked, "Yes, I actually understand. It's there in the scriptures. So, you know, I should immediately, you know, start to preach and tell everybody, you know, about Lord Gauranga." You know, what is, you know, it's like, you know, everything clicked and became clear from him, the position of Lord Chaitanya, you know. So he say he must teach, you know, about Lord Chaitanya and about this Gaura Prema. And, you know, just tell me, how can I teach this? And Lord Jagannath says, no. You keep this secret. This is just for yourself. But then you keep preaching Dasya Ras. You keep preaching, you know, just the teachings of this Vashishta Dvaita philosophy. But, you know, from within the heart, just fully worship Lord Gauranga. And so there will, you know, the time will come. So you cultivate that within your heart, and then the Lord manifested, you know, Lord Jagannath manifested the form of Lord Narayan, and then from the form of Lord Narayan, he manifested Lord, the form of Lord Gauranga. When Ramanujacharya saw the beautiful, golden, effulgent form of Lord Chaitanya, he just lost it and was completely absorbed in you know, Gaura Prema. And then the Lord disappeared, and he was very dejected. He wanted, where is the Lord? So he heard Lord Jagannath said that, don't worry. He was lamenting. I want to see him. I want to, you know, what to hell with everything. It's like, so he said, don't worry. During my pastimes as Lord Chaitanya, Lord Gauranga, you will take birth in Navadvip as a Brahmana, and you'll be part of my pastimes. So during the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, Ramanujacharya, he appeared as a Brahmana. His name was Ananta Vipra. He was an older Brahmana that would live in a very simple hut, and he was quite old. And he will worship very, very faithfully. He was a bhakta of Lakshmi Narayan. So he will worship Lakshmi Narayan very faithfully. And then during the marriage of Lord Chaitanya with Lakshmi Priya, he was invited. And when he was sitting in the marriage ceremony, and he saw Lord Chaitanya and Lakshmi Priya dressed very beautiful, you know, in silk and the whole regalia of you know, the marriage ceremony, it was revealed to him, Lakshmi Narayan, this is my worshipable Lord, I'm seeing them face to face. So as he come back to his hut and then was worshiping his deity, he was just meditating in that. He was very grateful to have that realization and that darshan. And at that moment, as he's, you know, thinking like this in front of his deity of Lakshmi Narayan, Lord Chaitanya appear with Lakshmi Priya in the altar, sitting in a golden throne, and place his 2 feet on the head of Ananta Vipra. So, anyway, this is the special relationship that these great personalities have with Lord Gauranga. There's also a pastime for Madhava Acharya. There's also a pastime for I believe also a pastime for Shankaracharya. So they all have this connection because they have that service. They have to pave that way for Lord Chaitanya appearance. So and they all had to make a choice. The choice of surrendering or giving giving themselves to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead against, you know, whatever circumstances that were there, specifically with superiors, you know, spiritual or material, like that. So that's something, try to put it together with the verse today. Any comments or questions? Bhakta Marcel.
Hi, Krishna Prabhu, very nice class, thank you. I'm just curious about, you mentioned that like in the age of Kali, the Brahminical qualities and the Varnashram is completely dismantled. I'm just pretty curious on why, like, is it possible to bring it back, or like, is it the age of Kali, if it's like not able to be brought back, then I'm just curious of Prabhupada, why Prabhupada wanted to bring it back if the age of Kali is like making it to where it's not able to be brought back.
Yeah, that's Lord Chaitanya's mercy. By Lord Chaitanya's mercy, then there's a window that is a very special window within Kali Yuga that it will be like the golden age. Let's explain. So there is, it's going to happen, it's predicted. But it's not a long window. I mean, 10,000 years out of 432,000 years is tiny. You know, so we better, Prabhupada say, don't waste the opportunity, you know. It's like we were reading yesterday, you know, someone has, you know, it's in one hand you have $1,000,000, in the other hand you want $1, and you just, okay, choose, okay, $1. It's like, you most stupid person, what are you doing? You know, why are you choosing $1? You know, so that's a gross comparison of the what we're going to miss if we let go the opportunity of taking to the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Jai Baladev Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for your class and your glorification of the Acharyas. My point is kind of related to that point. You were mentioning that Yadavacharya wanted to kill Ramanuja.
Yeah.
And that's kind of our situation. So I guess from this past time, I guess we could all agree that his real philosophy wasn't impersonalism, it was homicidalism. And that's kind of our situation sometimes, is that if we ask people, if someone asks us, what's our religion, we'll say prima dama, love of God, but if you make me mad, I'll kill you. That's usually situations that's what Radhanath Maharaj mentioned in one lecture called, Who is a Vaishnava? He quotes that verse, Dhyaye Tovi Shayam Pumsaha, Sangas Te Shubhajayate, etc. When one becomes angry, then all the thousands of Bhagavatam class, all Gita, all the prayers you offer to be humble, appreciative, forgiving, they go out the window. So my question is kind of related to that point, but I want to kind of relate that to the Bali point, is that that's the tendency, is that when some provoking circumstance come up, Maya immediately becomes our guru. But as far as Bali Maharaj is concerned, how do we come to the stage of his humility? Because the tendency is that when devotees have a prestigious job like Bali, like a king, and then they go through a hard time, all their, you know, they have to get a more meager job. You know, they have to go through some struggles. And I remember in Nityananda Prabhu's class the other day, he says you cannot survive without money. And even though Krishna may make things tight for the devotee, he'll still take care. But at the same time, we see that devotees, when they do go through struggles, even though we know we should give up this false prestige, this anger, but my question is related to the false prestige, they want to disassociate with devotees because I'm having a hard time and it's kind of embarrassing. And therefore, you know, when I associate with devotees, the question may come up, oh, what do you do for a living? And then they say, okay, I'm struggling right now. But Bali, he didn't have that false prestige. So how do we come to that level where we go through a difficult time and we still associate with devotees to give up this false prestige that, you know, okay, I shouldn't be embarrassed, you know, I'm going through a hard time. People may make me feel like, but that's okay. So how do we come to that stage? Or
I always remember that Prabhupada say we must come to the stage of Nishta. We must advance to the stage of Madhyama. Because all the examples of, you know, conflicts and the struggles and this and that is just symptoms of Kanishta. And, you know, with the different gradations of, you know, how you say, different gradations of responses. You know, one becomes very angry, or one becomes less angry and more this, more subtle, from gross to subtle. All these conflicts are usually symptoms of, you know, that our faith is not fixed yet. So we must come to the position of being fixed. We have no other choice. It's like right now we're not whole, we're divided. And that's awkward, it's very uncomfortable, because it's not you can fully settle and enjoy. You know, it's compared to eating sweet rice with some sand. You know, you can enjoy it. You know, sweet rice is most enjoyed, you know, this beautiful sweet rice, but someone let some sand fall in, so, you know, you can really go. So that's devotional service when we're mixed with some material desires and materialistic things. So we have to endeavor. We have to endeavor to overcome the aranartas. That whole presentation that was given, organized by Sri Solinesh Rupa Swami in December about overcoming the anartas, that's our business. That's what we all have to do. And then he explains in a class, you know, that one has to apply oneself very carefully to our sadhana. Try to, you know, carefully execute the sadhana in the mood of humility. Because the humility is you approach your sadhana with humility, with determination, and there was another qualities. You remember Giriraj? Huh? Patience. You know, there were a few things I have to review. I'm trying to listen to that class over and over because it's so relevant. But the thing, humility, understanding that really I'm a basket case, you know. So the holy name Krishna and the holy name are very merciful. So, you know, I place myself in a humble way, just, you know, begging for help, and apply myself very, very conscientiously to all the different details that are there in my sadhana practices. So I try, you try, you know, because that's what's going to help us overcome the anartas that dictate all the different responses that we have that are, you know, not good, that are just entangled, keeping you. It's like a block. It's like a, you know, something not allowing you to experience, you know, have a spiritual experience. So regardless, that we have to do. Yeah.
Madhava Gauranga Prabhu.
This question is in regards to the Buddhist philosophy. Quite often when we meet people, they're, oh, I'm into Buddhism or something like that. I was very much into Buddhism before coming. But the philosophy you're talking is voidism philosophy, that you don't really exist. And I can remember thinking, like getting real into it, and then I used to try to meditate on what it would be like to not exist, or like return to nothing. It was like, it was, you know. Anyway, My question is, when we meet people who are very into Buddhist philosophy, or they feel, you know, they're into it and they're learned or something, how is it that we can relate our philosophy to where they are and what their conceptions are? I mean, how can we preach, or what is, do you have any advice for how we can reach out to people who are into Buddhism philosophy?
Yeah, in general, you find out that most people that talks about Buddhism and yoga, they have a very funny material conception of these things. So, you know, it's, yoga is a spirituality, but for them it's a physical thing. You know, so they just, you know, have they're experiencing a life that is less moral passion, a little more moral goodness, a combination of goodness and passion, rather than passion and gross ignorance. Then is passion and some goodness, and then, oh, this is a spiritual, you know. So Buddhism becomes, you know, more the sense of, you know, controlling the body and the senses and things like that. But when it comes down to the philosophy, it's a combination of all kinds of things, of impersonalism. They don't know that about, you know, God. It's really very, very unclear, and no one can explain. And then, you know, you go into these things of, you know, what is the samadhi and you know, you say these prayers and do these things with sounds and things like that. They all, you know, they're all practices. It's like a sadhana with the goal of becoming a spiritual, but thinking, okay, spiritual, but what does that mean? They go beyond, you know, sort of like elevating your consciousness. Well, what is the goal? Then, you know, when they speak about the goal, it's very vague, or it's something that, you know, really, they don't go further on that. And if they go further, if you tell them, actually, you know what the goal is, right? You know, you're nothing. There's nothing. Nothing exists. There's no God. So why are you talking about God? So, you know, better just follow Charstre? What is the guy who said, you know, you can commit suicide? It's, you know, who cares? It's, you know, either you die now or you know, nihilism. What is Charstre, no? There's nothing. There's nothing. So how you put together being nothing and go for nothing and there is nothing? So what is it? Then what is the use of all if there's nothing? So they don't know that. Same with people who practice yoga. It's a spirituality, but, you know, it's also a whole wash of so many things. So how do we relate to them? You know, we relate from the perspective of practices that elevates us to the moral goodness. But, you know, what do you add? That we have to have a proper goal in a spiritual goal. What does it mean to be? What is the meaning of being spiritual? What do you want to realize? What is, you know, you're searching for self-realization. What is it? What is self-realization? That you're a soul, that you're a spirit. Okay, so meaning that, so what is the soul? So then, so the Buddhist, what would be? The soul is nothing? Or the soul is God? Or you become a Buddha? What is the meaning to become a Buddha? It means that you become a person like Lord Buddha? Like that? So, you know, that's the goal. But then how that fits, don't be nothing? You know, it's like, you know, you have person thinking. There's a goal, so think about the goal. But, you know, it's good. We can relate together to do things that brings us into the mode of goodness. How do we do? How do we bring ourselves in our practice, in our tradition, to the mode of goodness? Well, we follow regulated principles and we follow spiritual practices. And our goal is to understand who we are and what is our relationship with God. We are a spirit soul according to the Bhagavad Gita, and here is blah blah blah, dehinus minyata deheta, etc. etc. And here is God, you know, Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachinan, you know, like that. So, you know, and we have an eternal relationship, you know, and you know, Krishna say we're eternal parts and parcel, etc. etc., you know, like that. So we have that. You know. But make them think. If they're open. If they're not open, hey, it's wonderful. You know, we also try to cultivate ahimsa, it's important, you know. Being compassionate to all living entities. You have to control your mind. So, you know, we do intoxication, you know, four regulated principles. You preach on that with them, you know. And then when you touch, you know, not illicit sex, what's wrong with sex? You know, sex is supposed to, you know, Kundalini yoga! You know, it's like, you know, what exactly is Kundalini? It's like, you know, anyway. Hare Krishna. All right. So we can stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.